Steve Jones is going to come and give us our next reading.
Let us hear the word of God as it is written in Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And that was the prophet Isaiah, which we've already read, which was in Isaiah 7:14. And it read thus, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And may the Lord bless his own word to us all.
Well, let's turn back to our reading, our final reading that Steve gave to us from Matthew chapter 1, and we'll spend a few minutes looking at this. Now, Christmas. It's Christmas Day. We've all been building up to it, and if you're very young, you've been probably desperately waiting for this day to arrive. Christmas tends to put a longing in each of us to some degree, a longing to be with friends, a longing to be with family. And as well, Christmas can bring a time of sadness. I appreciate that very much, that people in this past year alone have lost people that they have loved, and that has left a sting and a great blow to various people, even perhaps here in the congregation, and I know so. Christmas also tends to bring a bit of a softening in most people. You know, if you're working up in London in a very stressful job, maybe Christmas may add to the stress, but it may bring a sense of softening. The boss is that little bit more human as Christmas is just round the corner. And at the Christmas social or whatever you may want to call it, maybe after a couple of glasses of sherry, people that haven't got on very well for the last year tend to be talking and, oh yeah, he's not such a bad guy after all, and so on. But Christmas can be an illusion in that sense, isn't it? And that's the first thing I want us just to look at briefly this morning. The Christmas illusion. The Christmas illusion. You see, that kind of peace and that kind of well-being comes from our circumstances. When you know that your holiday is just around the corner, you do feel a bit better and you do feel a bit more relaxed. And that sense of beginning to unwind, and that sense of taking time out. And we've all been waiting for that Christmas period where you let your hair down, so to speak. But the reality is, by the end of the first week in January, the boss might not be so human again. And he might be grumbling again. And the person that's enjoyed a couple of glasses of sherry together and felt, well, he's not such a bad chap, maybe doesn't feel that way by the end of the first week in January. And it's back to dog-eat-dog kind of environment and growling and snarling at each other. But as Christians, or those of us today who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, and maybe you're just beginning to explore the journey with Jesus, and I want to give you some encouragement to really take that journey on and to explore who Jesus Christ is. You see, we shouldn't live under an illusion. You can't live life like that. We can't live life under the illusion of making it from one holiday to the next and then sort of, I've survived, I'll take this holiday, and so on. We can have a very sort of romantic view of Christmas as well, isn't it? Almost the Disney, Hollywood style of Christmas. Peace in our time kind of mindset. That was Chamberlain, wasn't it? When he came back, having visited Hitler with the Munich Agreement. Peace in our time. But it wasn't peace, was it? And really, it wasn't peace at all. It was a pampering to what Hitler wanted. And why? Why did Chamberlain and others pamper Hitler at that time? Because people were wanting that illusion of peace. But Churchill saw it for what it really was. After he had come back, he stood up in Parliament and he said to Chamberlain, you had a choice between shame and war. You took shame and you'll get war. And he was absolutely on the money, so to speak. And Chamberlain eventually came to that conclusion when he delivered his speech. And I've got just a paragraph of it from here. It's 11:15 on the 3rd of September, 1939. He said, this morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government final notice stating that unless we hear from them by 11 o'clock that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and consequently, this country is at war with Germany. And then he added a personal note. You can imagine what a bitter blow it is to me that all my long struggle to win peace has failed. Yet I cannot believe that there was anything more or anything different that I could have done that would have been more successful. But Churchill saw it for what was coming. Chamberlain and others didn't want to see the reality. And we have, and I'm saying, we do have to work at peace. I'm not saying that we just throw caution to the wind and line up our troops on every occasion. But there's always been effort at peace, hasn't there? Man-made efforts at peace. CND and so on from the 50s. Campaign Against Nuclear Disarmament and so on. But this is what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 24. He says, and you will hear of war and rumors of war. See to it that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. You see, what we're really being told here by Jesus is we need a little bit more than Christmas cheer. We need a bit more than just the Christmas spirit, so to speak. And for war to stop on the outside, war must stop on the inside. And where there is sin, there is conflict. Whether that is on a global face, as we saw in the Second World War, or whether it's in the family home. And those who seek often to be leaders of world peace, their own homes and marriages are in chaos. And the committees are arguing over what way they should go about it, and so on. It's the blind leading the blind. Who then, or what, or who can bring this peace that has meaning, lasting substance to it? Well, God brings peace. And that's the second thing I want us to see here. God brings peace. Notice I say that God brings peace. It's not something that he simply sends from a distant place, but he brings peace. Why? Because God is with us. You see here in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, God brings peace. And where Jesus Christ comes into a family, a home, a community, he brings peace into that community. The virgin will be with child. Steve has rightly pointed out that Matthew is quoting here from the prophecy of Isaiah, written some 700 years earlier. Now, we tend to view God with us, particularly those of us who are Christians, from a New Testament perspective. But in the Old Testament, the Jewish people were very familiar with God being with them, and it gave them hope and confidence and assurance to face the impossible and difficult circumstances and the crushing weights of life. You know, God promised his own people many times in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, he says this to Jacob, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go." God says, "I'm with you." And in Exodus 3:12, he said to Moses, "But I will be with you. I will be with you." And also in Psalm 23 in verse 4, David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." God was with him. And Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Do not fear, do not be dismayed, I am with you." You see, are you in a position this morning that you can say that God is with you? Do you know that when you go back to work on the first week in January to face maybe a grumpy boss, that God is with you? Do you know that when the bottom falls out of your world, that God is with you? I'm with you. You see, the psalmist said it in Psalm 46. He said these words, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And that is seen ultimately in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, this is the Isaiah was pointing forward to God being with us in the most astonishing and marvelous and mind-blowing way when he says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and they will call his name Emmanuel. Or as Stuart Townend's great hymn puts it, "Fullness of God in helpless babe." Or Graham Kendrick's hymn, "Meekness and majesty," captures the twin natures of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meekness and majesty. You see, only God can predict such a great prophecy and then bring it to fulfillment. And brings it to fulfillment with a reason. Not just to show that he can do it, but because he has reasons and purposes in doing it. People are always predicting things, aren't they? We're all doing it. And yet then we have to backtrack. We have to backtrack on our predictions. And we sometimes have to bury our heads in the sand. But not God's. You see, God had planned this pregnancy and he announced it 700 years in advance. Planned it. It was God's work. It was God's announcement and it's God's work. See here in verse 18 and 20 that Steve read for us. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." You see, this is God's work. This is God at work. "But while," and then speaking about Joseph, he says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" God predicts and God works in wonderful ways. There's no mistaking who the father of this child is. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God in fulfillment with prophecy. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, another book in the New Testament says, "In the fullness of time, God sent his Son." In the fullness of time, he sent his Son. He sent the one that existed from all eternity. So the identity is clear. Emmanuel, God with us. And the third thing here is, it's a child. This is a child with a mission. A child with a mission. Look here in verse 21. This is what the angel says to Joseph. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You see, this child who grew into be a man and who gave his life on the cross wasn't simply coming for a visit. I know that some of you are here probably visiting friends and family at Christmas. And there's a purpose in that, and that's a good thing. But Jesus didn't simply come to do a visit. He came with a purpose. He came to lay down his life, to save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. That was his reason. He came because there was a distance between God and man. Adam put a distance between God and man when he sinned, when he rebelled, when he did that which he ought not to have done. And Jesus came to bring God and man back together. And his name defines that. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. It's in the original, it has, it means help, save, salvation. So in the context here, it means the Lord is my salvation. He will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Stems back to the Old Testament, the name Joshua. And Joshua, of course, was the great leader of Israel that led the people of Israel into the promised land. But one thing that Joshua could not do was give the people lasting peace. But this is what Jesus can do. He can give you this morning, even now, a lasting peace that can never be broken, shattered, or torn apart, regardless of your circumstances. Jesus Christ is bigger than your circumstances. Bigger. You see, our circumstances may change. We may get a new boss. He may be worse than the first boss, or he may be better. We may get a new job. We may move house. But until we have peace with God, we have no true peace, no lasting peace. And true and lasting peace comes to us when our sins are dealt with. You see, Moses led the people of Israel. God said, I am with you. He led them out of Egypt. Joshua led them into the promised land. But what Moses and Joshua could not do was to lead the people out of their sins. He will save his people from their sins, says the angel here about Jesus. See, we can't save people either. I, as the pastor of Days Lane, cannot save people from their sins. But I can point them, point you to the one that can save you and deliver you and rescue you from your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important, isn't it, that we speak about Jesus to people. It's very important that we speak about Jesus and share the biblical truths with people. And that's where the challenge lies, isn't it? Because we break through the illusion that people have about God himself. And it cuts across culture and background and all different things when we talk about Jesus. See, the temptation is to do kind and good acts. And I hope that we do kind and good acts towards people and show them God's loving kindness. But we must never forget to speak about Jesus. You see, if you can, excuse me, we can do kind and good acts to people and you'll be their best friend. Speak about Jesus. You might not be their best friend for very long after that, because Jesus is unpopular. The kind of world peace that people want is peace without Jesus. Can't have peace without Jesus. But the other thing is, Jesus doesn't always bring peace. Now that may sound very odd in what I've just said, because Jesus brings change, and not everybody wants change. But Jesus brings peace to those that surrender their lives to him. And I just want to sum up really on this last point. Accepting God's will and direction. Accepting God's will and direction. You see, here in this passage that Steve read for us, we have a man, Joseph, who's torn. The bottom has fallen out of his world. In verses 18 and 19, his betrothed, and the whole passage here shows us that his wife, Mary, and they were engaged. It was very more serious an engagement in these days than in our own day. She was pregnant. And what the passage makes very clear was that Joseph wasn't the father. Here was a godly man. He was trusting God. He was waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled for Israel. And yet this woman that he was to be married to is pregnant, and his peace is shattered. His whole world has fallen apart. But we find from the passage that he is himself a man of integrity. And that's very clear in how he wanted to deal with Mary. But what God does in this passage is shows Joseph the divine plan, God's divine plan, and how it is being fulfilled, the things that God had promised. Mary and Joseph are going to be right at the center of what God had promised and planned. God, by his Spirit, incarnates his eternal Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this is what is explained to Joseph. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph felt hurt until this was explained to him. He felt betrayed. He felt let down. He felt the woman that he entrusted his whole life to and was willing and ready to spend his life with had betrayed him. Yeah, the biblical stories are great, aren't they? They're not a fairy tale. They tell us it as it is. Maybe you feel betrayed. Maybe you feel betrayed at work. You've been treated badly. Maybe you feel betrayed at home. Maybe you're brooding over something. Maybe you're burning up inside over something that you've been betrayed over, or let down, or treated badly about. It needs to be dealt with. You see, it'll only burn up inside you. It will burn up. You need peace. Peace with God. We all need peace. If we allow ourselves to be burned up inside, eventually poison will come out. But God brought peace to Joseph, this man who was a godly man and had integrity. Well, what's the signs of peace? Well, Joseph does what the angel told him. Firstly, it's obedience, isn't it? When you have peace with God, there's obedience. He takes Mary home, verses 24 and 5. He's told to do that. Takes her home as his wife and didn't know her. That is, he had no sexual union with her until this child was born. Secondly, he gives him the name Jesus, as he was commanded, instructed to do. Notice it's not Joseph that's naming the child, really. It's God who's naming the child, because this child's name has a great mission attached to it, and that will be fulfilled. You see, peace doesn't come when our circumstances change. Yes, to a degree, peace comes when our circumstances change. But ultimate and lasting peace will only come when your circumstances change with God. That is when lasting peace will come, when your circumstances change with God. It's not our circumstances that gives us lasting peace. It's our relationship with God that gives us lasting peace. And if we're looking for the dream job or the dream holiday or the dream whatever, family, we're looking in the wrong place. That's an illusion. You've got to look to Jesus Christ. Peace comes from knowing God. Peace comes from knowing that God is with us. Peace comes from knowing what God has done for us. Peace comes in knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we must never lose focus on that. We must be prepared to speak the good news of Jesus to all people. That may bring conflict, because you will cut across people's ideas of what peace is. But the kindest thing we can ever do for anybody is to speak to them about Jesus. And that means we may have to shatter the illusion that they're living in. Peace comes then from knowing that God is with us, and peace comes from knowing what God has done for us. It's amazing, isn't it? God creates man out of nothing. God creates woman out of man. And then God incarnates his eternal Son into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then when you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God gives you his Holy Spirit, so that God is living in us by his Spirit. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. You see, that's what comes from being in a relationship with God. See, we don't need to have the peace where we walk around on eggshells in case we upset the boss, or maybe even in our own family homes. And we don't need to have that kind of peace where you try to cozy up to somebody to keep them on their good side all the time. We need peace with God. We need peace with him. And that comes through Jesus Christ. Well, may God grant to each of us today that peace that gives to us what we cannot find in this world or in ourselves.